guys, welcome to a new episode of Saw Something Scary. Forgot what we were doing for a second. Jeff and Derek back in the studio with you. Sorry, it's been a minute since we've talked to you. Jeff, what's going on, man? How are you?
Man, I'm okay. It's starting to be the most wonderful time of the year, and I don't normally care for Christmas, but I'm glad for this one to roll around. And so started reading the Chronicles of Narnia with my kids last night, and going to get more time with them as school goes into semester break. It's been, you know, everybody's had a difficult year. That's putting it mildly. It'll be nice to have this time.
Yeah. Well, good, man.
How about you?
Well, dude, it's been Christmas for me for about 2 months now. So I'm just slowly losing my mind. That's what I'm doing. I think if I counted correctly, I have 35 more shows over the next 2 weeks. So that's terrifying. And we got a big push of that this weekend. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. But you know what, man? I'm grateful. I think if this year's taught me anything, it's to be grateful for the position that you're in, even if it's not the best position to be in. But there's a lot of people that have a lot of people have lost loved ones this year. A lot of people have dealt with a lot of hurt and suffering, and I know that happens every year, but it seems like it's been on more of a broader level this year. Maybe it's just because it's more amplified because we're all going through the same kind of stuff, but it's just really kind of given me perspective on to be thankful for health and family and communication like this, where I can sit down with my buddy Jeff and talk about life for about half an hour and then talk about movies for 45 minutes. So it's yeah, so things are good, man. I just gotta get through this last little bit, and then we'll be good. And then I come home, and then we can do these face-to-face.
Yeah, right? Baby.
And if you don't think I'm not sitting in your lap the first one, you're sadly mistaken.
If you tried anything else, I wouldn't stand for it. No pun intended. On a more lighthearted note, speaking of Narnia, you know, when you get into that first book, there's a white witch who has, there's a famous line, the white witch has brought a situation in Narnia where it's always winter and never Christmas. So you are in always Christmas and never Christmas break.
Yes. Yes. That is 100% correct. Yeah, it's going to be a crazy couple weeks, but that's okay. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before. I don't even know if we talked about this to begin with or not, but, it is super, super cool to, at the end of the show to be able to park my horse, and we've got snow falling in the arena and Santa comes around on a sleigh. And just to see everybody turn into like an 8-year-old kid again, you know, that's as stressful and as demanding as my job is. When you get to see that part of the show, you're like, okay, well, that's the reason why we're doing it.
For sure, man. For sure.
So it's a pretty cool little moment. Also, I took my Christmas card picture last night. I'll have to send that to you because it is. Fantastic.
You know, sometimes those are a little racy. Is this one legal in most states?
You should probably look at it on DuckDuckGo.
I have been. That's hilarious.
I won't give away anything, but the caption on it is Merry Christmas from the North Swole. So that tells you anything. We had a lot of fun taking that picture last night.
It's a group enterprise. I cannot wait to see the fruits of the labors.
That's right. Oh, anywho, well, man, let's hop into it, dude. I don't really have any trailers. I will tell you this. I did watch a trailer today. This isn't necessarily a horror movie, but it's a movie with I think a fellow favorite of ours, Bob Odenkirk.
Okay.
It's a movie called Nothing, and it's basically Bob Odenkirk as Ben Affleck's character from The Accountant.
Hmm.
And it's gotten some buzz, and it should be in theaters if they're still around in February. So I finally had a chance to sit down and watch the trailer this morning, and I thought it looked pretty good. It's always cool to see Saul Goodman as a butt-kicking bad A. So if that's something that you're interested in, I'd recommend going and checking that trailer out.
Yeah, I definitely will. It's odd. It seems like trailers still exist, but I never hear about them until the movie's just out. You know, like you can go to Amazon or Shudder or whatever and say, watch trailer or just watch the movie. Like this new Monster Hunter movie, I think might be a candidate for us to review here. I just, it would have been nice to have that as a trailer before I could just stream the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm saying as a guy who, we have a whole segment about me hating trailers, but like, I now live in a world where we went from like, let's stop making any of them that are any good to, or let's keep making a ton of them that are no good and they're unhelpful to the movie to now you just get the trailer at the same time you get the movie. And I'm like, guys, you took a bad situation and didn't make it any better. Like you radically changed it and it's still not any better. So like, let's just all agree we're done with trailers forever, or we're going to release them without giving away plot details a little while before we release the movie. Just that sweet space that seems so reasonable. We cannot get to.
Yeah. It's weird. Congratulations, 2020. The craziest thing that you've done this year is make Jeff wish we had trailers.
A little.
Hey man, that's still a lot more than it was last year.
What do we rename the segment to? Jeff's ambivalent about trailers.
Jeff has a healthy respect for trailers.
It's not quite as punchy. We have to get the marketing department on
Jeff
that.
Jeff has a healthy respect for trailers.
Yeah. We'll work on that. We'll work on that.
We'll talk to the marketing team. So you don't really have any horror reporter stuff. I don't really have any Jeff Hates trailer stuff. So let's talk about this movie. We teased it whenever we talked last.
13 years ago.
Which feels like eons ago.
Yeah.
But it's Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Is that the Christian name?
That is correct, sir. And this is another one of those horror comedy remixes from Christopher, whatever his last name is.
Landon.
The Landonverse. And I really think this one, it came out in 2015. It's his proof of concept, right? Like he had some idea, like maybe I could take some comedy stuff I like from back in the day and take this Paranormal Activity stuff I've been working on and kind of mix them up and see what comes out of the blender.
I think that he said in an interview he wanted to do an R-rated version of like the Goonies. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, yeah, nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I texted you while you hadn't seen it yet. And, you know, we did a running commentary thing on text as well, which maybe ought to be a Patreon bonus. We ought to just start publishing those things.
It's pretty good.
It seems to me like, unacknowledged, this is basically super bad with zombies. Now, it's not as on the nose as it was with Groundhog's Day and Freaky Friday, with Happy Death Day and Freaky. But nonetheless, I know every like coming of age story has kids trying to buy beer, you know, illegally.
Yeah.
But this one seemed to really scream super bad to me in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I guess before we get going, Wahlberg.
What? No.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, my bad. I didn't mean to spoil the teenager tries to buy beer in a coming of age story. I know that's super innovative. It's a
huge plot point.
Yeah, just an apology from the bottom of my heart to our listeners who had this movie ruined at this point.
Do you like how it looked off camera, like he was in the room with me?
Yeah. Is he not? Committed. Where does he live? I thought he lived
not
with here. You.
Not Branson, Missouri. Keep him in a cage, my bathroom.
It's just him in one stall and Nico in the other and feed, water, and walk him.
All the time we're playing 9 to 5. Speaking of which, did you see Melissa Villaseñor on Saturday Night Live do Dolly Parton? Have you had a chance to look at that clip?
I have not.
Dude, she freaking kills it.
Really?
Yeah. Tell you what, I'm going to send you that link too. So now you have a picture of my Christmas card and you're going to get this link from Dolly.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And Dolly makes more than a little bit of a cameo here in this movie. I wondered if this is one of the ways they got financing to build the Branson Theater that you work in.
You know, I think I sent you a text message that said if David Koechner doesn't dress up like a zombie drag Dolly Parton, then this thing gets all for nothing. And unfortunately, that does not happen. But what does happen was well worth the was a great alternative.
We came pretty close. I mean, the Dolly stand up cutout thing, you know. Sort of getting her singing her way through a zombie attack. I felt like my Dolly needs were satisfied.
Yeah, for sure. Where do we start on this, man? Do you want a good, bad, and ugly this thing?
Yeah, that would be an appropriate way to handle this. And I'd like to start on the good with where the movie starts.
Okay.
I have never worked as a janitor. I've done a lot of stuff. I've cleaned a lot of nasty stuff up. I've talked on the podcast about the movie theater you and I worked at, me shop vacuuming human excrement out of the popcorn room. So
yep.
I've seen some stuff, I've done some stuff, but I've just never been employed under the heading of janitor.
Right.
But this movie, it really grabbed a hold of my heart with that opening scene, because that is 100% the way I would be as a janitor in some huge complex that I had to clean at night. That, that's the most realistic thing in this crazy movie, is that janitor dancing around while he cleans. And so I was pretty hooked by the opening of this movie. I thought they did a good job of being like, this is what this movie's about. And it's going to have some real gore in it, but we're going to have a good time too. And so I just kind of kudos to Mr. Landon in 2015, coming hard out of Paranormal Activity. You know, those are, by the time you get to the Lost ones, those are not charming movies, you know. He's just got chops as a storyteller and a film creator, I guess is what I'm getting to, that he wasn't rusty trying to make a guy laugh or do a pretty good introduction to his movie. So
yeah,
that's my first comment of praise.
Yeah, I agree. Who is that actor that is in the first part of that thing? He's in Parks and Rec. I'm going to look it up.
His name is Blake Anderson.
Is that him?
And he is credited in this movie as Ron the Janitor.
Okay.
And Ron,
I love
the Janitor,
that dude.
Well, dude, he's done The Groundlings. He's done Upright Citizens Brigade. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to evaluate talent, but the guy's put the work in with the right people to help him cultivate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he made the most out of this short window.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah. I guess that does make sense that he was with The Groundlings and stuff, because he always pops up in like Mike Shore stuff. He was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Mm-hmm. He was in Parks and Rec as one of the Grizzle guys. Just anytime I see him pop up and stuff, I'm always like, oh, that guy. I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
So I was right there with you when he popped up as the janitor. I was like, oh man, you're going to die real quick, but I'm excited to see what happens in between.
For sure. For sure. Hey, were you ever a Boy Scout?
No, sir. I wasn't. I went to one scout meeting. I think they asked for a lot of money, and, we've been well documented on the show that we didn't have a lot of money. And so they were, my mom was like, you can camp out in the backyard. And I was like, oh, done. All right. No big deal.
You're my little scout.
Yeah. I'll sew those badges on for you.
Yeah.
We'll just get them.
I think I did like a 2-year stint in whatever you are before you get to be a Boy Scout. Like I was in the younger division or whatever. And it was a lot different than what I saw portrayed in this movie. Now, I've taught two kids who have made Eagle Scout, and they also were a lot different from what you see in this movie. So I just wondered where the vision of scouting that Mr. Landon's drawing on came from.
I was a member of the Royal Ambassadors. Is that the same thing?
Yes, sir. You're still a member of the Royal Ambassadors. It's like the mafia, man. You don't get out.
That's true. You don't. Wasn't that the name of them before Awana took over?
Yep. That was the Royal Ambassadors. And I think also, like organized crime, you get beat in, but you have to die out.
Well, yeah, then it definitely is the right thing. That was the first thing that happened. Tim Wilson beat me with a bar of soap and a pillowcase.
Yep. Made a man out of you, son. Put some hair on your chest. Good. That's how you become a Royal Ambassador. did you know David Koechner was in this before you hit play?
No.
I didn't either. Such a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Did you know they were going to put him in a hairpiece?
No. No, I did not, man. I did not. Koechner dying quick was a surprise to me, because I just assumed high profile name like David Koechner, he was going to be like the guy that saves the day at the end of this thing. And so when he gets bitten fairly early on, what, probably half hour into the movie, I was like, dang, man, that sucks. And then when he just keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back, I was like, oh, there it is. That makes more sense. He even shows up. I don't know if you got this far or not, but he even shows up in the credits. There's like a mid-credits. There's a mid-credits scene.
You know, I probably missed that. I need to go back and check that out.
It's really funny.
I love the idea of him as the Terminator zombie who just won't die. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just his head in the mid credit scene, but it's one of those things where he looks in and he goes, "All right, movie's over. Go home.
I did see that. He's decapitating, like laying in rubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah. I'll also tell you this. I'm just going to confess this in front of our whole listening audience. I'm not a bright man. And I legit thought, I guess I just lost all sense of when this movie was made. I legit thought, oh, this is before he lost his hair. It was not a bright moment. It was not a bright moment. And I felt really embarrassed and thought I'd invite people to have a laugh at my expense after I lived through this movie.
I will say that I didn't know if they were going to play it off like, oh, he's wearing a wig, or if they were just like, hey, let's just put David Keck. The gag is he's in a wig and everybody knows it, but you know, we're not going to, we won't acknowledge it. It's just kind of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And so when it did come off, I was like, oh, there we go. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if recruiting to scouting is as depressing as that scene. As a guy who did scouting and checked out on it, it struck me as possibly very realistic. But I don't know. It's pretty bleak.
Well, I had a good buddy of mine in high school who became an Eagle Scout. And honestly, that's kind of what I felt like his high school career was.
It's all about the scouts.
Yeah. But I mean, it was to an extent. But like those like recruitment meetings, I could have definitely seen like he and his dad being in a room full of like one person or two people and being like, what do you say? And the kid being like, no, I'm good. Thanks. Walking out. Yeah, I think one of the things I text you was, are those the three stereotypes of kids in high school? The chubby loser, the D-bag, and then the handsome hero guy.
Good guy. I mean, it makes you look back at your friend groups and be like, now, which one was I?
You know, I think I told you, I was like, was I the chubby loser the whole time and no one told me?
No, buddy, we were friends.
Shut it down. It's not getting any better than that one.
The only real criticism of something stale in this movie, I hate the line. Let me give you a comparison. I have gotten to the point now when like on a podcast ad or TV ad, someone says now more than ever. I immediately have a visceral response of rage to the person using it because it's just worn out. It's cheap. It's unthoughtful. Like it's the lowest hanging fruit in 2020. So if you don't care enough to come up with an advertising pitch that's better than that, I don't ever want to hear from your company again. You've just wasted my time. Does that make sense?
Now more than ever.
Thanks, Derek. I'm out. See you guys. The equivalent in this movie for teenage coming of age movies, even more than the let's go try to get someone to buy beer for us, is the scene where one character turns to another character and says, do you know what next year means? Right. So these are sophomores moving into junior year. You know what it'd mean next year when we're juniors? And I'm like, dude, come on. I've been a teenager. I've worked with teenagers forever. I still work with teenagers. Nobody ever says that. No one ever treats moving from sophomore to junior year as something that has to be formally recognized with a, you know what next year means, right? It's just not how it works. And I'm getting annoyed by it. So I have strong thoughts about a minor plot point, but I'm still going to have strong thoughts.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think you alluded to this, or you maybe even said it earlier, but this is his jumping off point to bigger and better stuff. There are flashes of brilliance in this script, but there's also a lot of in this movie. And so while with my running commentary of it, I think if you go back and scroll through those texts, you would think that I didn't enjoy the movie. I had a blast watching this thing, but there was just a lot of like, being the critic that we are now, the world-renowned critics that you and I are, there's a lot of stuff in this that did make me roll my eyes. And a lot of the dialogue was part of it where I was just like, okay, come on, buddy. I've seen you write better than this. But of course, we're retroactively going back through this. And honest to goodness, man, like I'm glad that we watched Freaky and we watched the Happy Death Day movies before we saw Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, because I may honestly have written him off.
Oh yeah,
if I'd have seen this one first, just because like I'm just not in that sophomoric humor kind of phase in my life anymore, and so seeing a lot of that stuff, I was kind of like, okay, and that was kind of the stuff that I was commenting to you about while I was watching the movie, because I was just like, really, dude, we gotta go down this route. You know, you're a lot more clever than what you're giving off right now.
Well, on that, I'm entirely agreed. And maybe we could, there's some other positive stuff, but this seems like a good time to talk about some of the negatives. And the negatives for me was exactly what you're picking up on right there. For people my age, I don't, you're being a little bit younger. I'm not sure what you would point to. But for my age, basically, American Pie was sort of the phenomenon of this kind of raunchy, teenage-oriented humor. And I have never cared for it.
Yeah.
Never cared for it. I don't know that I've ever watched an American Pie movie. I didn't watch Harold and Kumar go wherever they went. I've probably seen, I mean, I saw Superbad. I saw some of like the 40-Year-Old Virgin and the one where Rogan gets a girl pregnant. I can't remember what that's called. Knocked Up. Like I've seen some of those, but that's just never been my jam. And I think this movie is legitimately funny, but my problem with it is right where you're at. Like the raunch factor is just dialed up to a degree I don't have a palate for. I get a lot of people probably love it. That's probably their favorite stuff. There was one particularly raunchy scene where I laughed, you know, so it's not like I'm some kind of elitist who's above it. It's just not, it's kind of like torture in horror movies. I'm just not ever going to sign up for that. It has no traction with me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that too, man. And honestly, it kind of sucks because I adore David Koechner. But when I know that he's in an R-rated comedy, I cringe because I just know something's going to happen where I'm like, you know, I love the Anchorman movie, but there's even now, like going back to watch some of the stuff in Anchorman, I'm like, good Lord, there was no reason for that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, it's so comparable to torture stuff in horror movies because it's a way for people who can't write or think well to say, oh, we'll either be super scary or by saying, oh, this would be hilarious. I mean, it's screenwriting by middle schoolers.
Yeah.
Now, I don't deny that there are times that it can be pulled off. Man, I don't know why this has left me, but who's the creator of the Family Guy who did?
Seth MacFarlane.
Seth MacFarlane is one of the few guys who can really thread that needle pretty well. Yeah, I think that's right.
His name's Seth. I know that much.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's MacFarlane. And I don't know why I can't remember that. He tends to be able to thread that needle pretty well, but I can count on one hand the number of times I've seen it play out really successfully. Like even the difference between Anchorman, the first movie and the second one, There's a huge drop off. And so it not only is it kind of simplistic and gets people who shouldn't be, you know, who aren't qualified to do what they're doing engaged, but even the people who can do it have a really hard time making it work. And so
yeah,
there's some funny stuff here, but the raunch level was just way over the top.
Yeah.
In a way that like, I'm never going to really tell people I'm super into this movie. Like if somebody's like, hey, recommend a movie, it'll never be this. Yeah. I have recommended Happy Death Day. I would recommend Freaky, I guess, but I probably won't recommend this one.
Yeah. It feels like if I'm going back and looking through it, like, Happy Death Day and this movie had to exist for Freaky because I feel like Freaky is the perfect amalgamation of both of those movies.
Yeah.
And honestly, watching this movie gave me more appreciation for Freaky than it did before I watched it.
Yeah. In what way?
Well, just because like Landon feels like he's found his voice as a writer. And so while Freaky was rated R, it wasn't for sophomore humor. It wasn't for an old man's penis getting pulled off. You know, it wasn't for any kind of raunchiness. It was for hard-hitting violence, a little bit of profanity. But it felt more clever. It felt more mature. And so it just seems like that it was the perfect kind of like evolution for him. You know, I still think that Happy Death Day is his best so far. The first Happy Death Day. But I feel like that Freaky was what he was trying to do with this movie. But it just came off a little too, for my taste, and I'm assuming for yours as well, it came off a little too sophomoric. And so now he's kind of matured as a writer to like, oh, I don't have to do these kinds of things anymore. I can still have an R-rated movie and it be good and it be funny, but I don't have to resort to zombie tongues in weird places.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a good point. And it dovetails nicely with your point about watching this one third rather than first. I'm with you. Even just thinking through your paradigm there, it makes sense of how like in Freaky, when you have the scene of the three compadres riding in together, right at about the point you're exhausted by the teen language. I say language, teen lingo, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, here I am, an old man. But by at the point you're just about exhausted with it, he moves on to something else.
Yeah.
And so he took you up to the edge, but he checks out on that. Or he applies these elements also in Freaky more judiciously. They're sort of, they're there as garnish. You're not overwhelmed by them, right? It's someone who's using seasoning well in their dish versus choking you to death with it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point, Derek. And I'm with you. I think that having seen three of his movies, including Happy Death Day to You, I like this one much better on the far side of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the raunch and the sophomoric stuff would have turned me off on this guy. And I would have been like, oh, no, I'm good. I don't think I'm going to watch anything else. But walking into it with Happy Death Day and just falling in love with that universe and that character, I then, you know, going to Freaky and having similar experiences with that, and then coming back to this and being like, okay, we all grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, or honestly, if you're not growing, you're dying. And clearly this guy has grown as a filmmaker and as a writer. So I'm willing to watch his attempts to crawl to appreciate the times where he's ran.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And maybe to flip back, maybe to a positive with the same sort of carrying on your point there. One of the things that's clearly present in this movie that we see is a theme in his other films is that he's really good at picking leading ladies
mm-hmm.
who do more than I would expect them to be able to pull off. Right. So that was true of the Freaky lead. It was clearly true of our beloved Tree in Happy Death Day. But Denise Russo, played by Sarah DeMont, I loved her as the, you know, she's the attractive girl the guys are going to be kind of drooling over. But she's also this mentor who kind of sees the best in them. Now, she's also a Deus Ex Machina. There's a point where she shows up and you're like, I think you texted to me like, no, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
But to combine sort of the hot teacher trope with the mentor character, that was an interesting move. And Sarah DeMont pulled it off pretty well. I thought that was pretty skillful.
Yeah, I agree. I was really impressed with her. And you know what? I don't think she's done much since then.
I mean, I don't know anything else about her other than being in this film.
Yeah. Which I think another thing I text to you is you got to think that Christopher Landon has his wife as some hot blonde, like some hot
straight
blonde. Because, I mean, that is his archetype, dude.
That is true. That's who he goes looking for.
You know, and I'm a little disappointed with the other leading lady in this. And I forget her name, too. It's been a minute since I've watched. Yes. I was a little disappointed with Cloris Leachman. I thought she could have done a lot better. No, Halston Sage, who plays Kendall.
Yeah.
I was disappointed that she really is just there to be the love interest. You know, when we first meet her, and you can tell that Ty Sheridan's character has a thing for her, I was like, oh, there's my Tree, you know, or there's my, what was her name, Chloe in Freaky?
We'll just go with that.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name either, but yes.
There's my Freaky. Well, that just makes it sound weird. You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's my Tree. I'm going to just keep saying that. And she seriously just shows up to flirt with the kid, you know, have that meet cute moment at the beginning. And then we see way more of her underwear than I would have expected. And then she shows back up at the end to be the damsel in distress. And I was just like, man, again, that's one of those things where I'm like, all right, homeboy just evolves his writing and stuff, because had this been now, she would have been the one just destroying this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, everything you said there is right. I will tell you that, like, I think maybe there's a sort of play.
Millie was her name.
Not Chloe. What were you thinking? I think there was some kind of expectation going on there where, you know, you might expect the Ty Sheridan character to end up with Sarah DeMont's character.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you would expect Halston Sage's character to turn out to be the predatory jerk who's, you know, going to step on Ty Sheridan's character's heart, right?
Yeah.
And so everything you just said is correct. I just like that the guy ended up with a girl. I did like that. Again, I'm a sentimental fool, but I liked it.
No, and I'm the same way. It just felt like she was there for just that one purpose.
Oh, yeah, she definitely was.
We have to have a romantic interest, and we can't have it be the bad A older chick. So we're just going to shoehorn her in to this, and that's it.
You are entirely correct. I mean, that you're not wrong. I'm an old sentimentalist. That's why I'm the horror uncle. And that she didn't turn out to be like a, you know, a closet psychopath or
some vapid high school. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just a jerk that was like, oh, you thought I would be with you? You know, just any version of that stuff. I was like, okay, cool. He got to put his arm around her at the end of the movie. Cool. Yeah. Cool by me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, man. Like I'm cool with it. I just, again, it's just another example of like how he's matured as a writer to where, you know, like now he would be like, oh yeah, we're not going to do the cocktail waitress chick, or she may get killed off real quick, but this girl, she's going to be the one that we focus on, and she's going to be the one that winds up saving the day.
Yeah, no, spot on. Were there any favorite bits in the movie for you? Well, you think it over, and I'll pitch a few to get your.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen this movie. Yeah. I know the broad strokes, but like,
sure. One I really enjoyed, the one we already talked about with the janitor at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, we've already alluded to it. I really enjoyed the battle in the scout leader's apartment to the Dolly Parton soundtrack, and the kid just trying to believe the best as long as he can. You know,
yeah.
Thought that was funny. I super enjoyed them actually making sense and particular use of this being a scout troop who's fighting zombies, where they go like armor up in the hardware store.
Yeah.
when all that was going on, you know, I grew up watching Rambo movies, and there's always a scene of him like strapping on the bullet belt and, you know, wrapping something around his bicep because that makes him stronger, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And the version I was like, let's go. And then the payoff in the gym where they're just weed whacking people and shooting bocce balls through heads. I was in for every bit of that. Like, it was the moment for the geeks to shine. And that was the most Goonies-ish element of the movie, you know? And I was there for every bit of that. In fact, now that I've thought about it, I'm probably going to go back and watch that section again while I'm editing this episode.
There you go. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that bit.
Yeah, I would agree with you on all of those. I don't think there's really anything else that stands out to me with that. The climax of this movie in the gym is top notch. It's it's what you want the kids from Derry to have. You know, it's that kind of moment where you're like, the Losers Club rides it done. So yeah, it was really good. And yeah, I mean, I am partial to the Keckner scene where we're trying to get this zombie, or trying to figure out what's going on with our beloved scout leader to the tune of 9 to 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Another one that I really enjoyed, because I laughed out loud when it happened. That's how simplistic, I guess, my tastes are for this film. But, you know, there's that prolonged scene that I think is sort of an homage to a Romero movie. I can't remember if it's Dawn of the Dead, but there's a Romero movie where they're in a mall. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it Dawn of the Dead. Somebody who knows those things better can fill me in later. But at the end of Dawn of the Dead, at least by the remake, there's this sense that zombies are more intelligent than we've initially assumed. And so one of the guys in the mall has sort of developed a rapport or some level of communication with one of the zombies who's kind of a leader. And so you have that scene in this film that, again, it just cracked me up because it was so strange as it was happening. They found the zombie in the, was it NSYNC or Backstreet Boys t-shirt?
Oh, dang it. I think it was NSYNC.
And so they just start doing the song, or it was a Britney Spears song.
Oh, it was
song.
Britney Spears. Yeah, that's what
it was. Britney Spears. And like, you're like, oh, wait, what are we going to have intelligent zombies here? And about the time they have actually established communications, the soldier guy shows up and blows his head away. And the hard juxtaposition was quite funny. And they never go back to it ever again. These zombies are more intelligent, but like, they're like, you know what? We might be able to somehow humanize it. Nah, let's just chop their heads off with a overpowered weed eater.
Yeah. The bigger dude in the YOLO shirt got a big laugh out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. That was funny too.
I thought that was good.
The cats in the cat lady's house being zombie psychos.
Yeah.
You know, that's I want to say it's the novelization of World War Z, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's the same author or something, but there's a zombie novel where a character makes the point, if this gets into animals or birds or bugs, we have no hope whatsoever. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that zombie movies don't go there. Because if animals like that deer and those cats get it, well, no human can stand up against the whole of nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no survival at that point. But I still liked all the like demon Garfields in the dark running around being crazy. I was enjoying that.
Yeah. I wonder if Cloris Leachman is like Christopher Landon's godmother or something, because it just seems like that's just a very odd role to put her in. In a movie, you just, I don't know. You see Cloris Leachman's name and you're like, oh, we're going to get something a little more substantial than what we got from her. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe that was it. I mean, she does great with what she's given.
Yeah, she does. And again, to that point of like him maturing, I actually think she does. He does a pretty good job here with his casting. I know this wasn't a huge budget, but Ty Sheridan, Cloris Leachman, even the guy who plays the jawless zombie, who's part of the ranch that I don't have any interest in talking about, but Matty Carter-Ropel, or however you say his name, you know, he's known, right? Like, he's a commodity. He's been in Stranger Things and some other stuff. Like, he did a good job here of salting in talent with unknowns.
Yeah.
So kudos to him. I mean, again, shades of us discovering Jessica Roth through him and, you know, the other casting he's done. He does a good job of finding talent.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you catch that Patrick Schwarzenegger's in this?
No. You
know, Arnie's progeny?
I guess not.
Yeah, he plays Jeff. And I can't remember if Jeff is the jerk boyfriend of, I can't keep my head straight. Kendall. I can't remember if he's the jerk boyfriend or he's the buddy, but he's one of the two. That's young Schwarzenegger.
Huh. So it is. How about that? There's no nepotism there.
No. He's a good looking kid. Got square jaw. You can stick him in as the jerk junior quarterback, you know?
Yeah, he would have been awesome in the 80s.
For sure. He'd have it set up. Schwarzenegger has another kid who is an actor, right? He was on the short list for playing Captain Marvel in the Shazam movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So there's a family tree for Schwarzenegger in the acting world.
Or was it Patrick Schwarzenegger that was on the short list for?
Could have been the same guy. I will have to confess, I'm not crystal clear on the whole Schwarzenegger progeny list.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? How do you not know this stuff?
I haven't studied the family tree in like at least 20 minutes.
I just know that Chris Pratt's in that family.
That's true. He needs some help, man. Everybody's after him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it is just Patrick. I think he's the actor.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, we've kind of talked about the raunch stuff as a category. Any other criticisms of this movie?
No, not really. Nothing off the top of my head. I mean, I've already talked about the script and then the raunch that went with it. Those were my biggest two criticisms of this thing. I think even with subpar dialogue, everyone does a great job with what they're given.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think I have anything. Do you? Do you have anything?
Not really. I mean, this is a simple movie. It's not, Hamlet in the Park. And so it's hard to just beat up on the simplistic elements other than the raunch that I just thought was over the top, even in a movie that was going to have some raunchiness to it. The movie, you shouldn't come into this with the highest of expectations, I guess is what I'm saying. And the movie never manages to disappoint you.
Yeah.
Other than a couple of the scenes we have referenced but not talked about.
Yeah. I think when I first started watching this movie, I was a little frustrated with it just because of what we had talked about already. But as the movie went on, I kept telling myself, like, okay, this was his first outing at this type of movie. No one's Jordan Peele, you know, like, you're not going to hit it. You're not going to knock it out of the park on your first attempt. So this is a solid double. You do see those flashes of brilliance that you later come to appreciate. So by the end of the movie, I was having a good time and really enjoying it. And I'll probably try to go back and watch it again with my bar set a little bit lower, this time. And I'm sure that I'll have a blast with it.
Yeah. This is on my list of movies I will watch again. I'm going to fast forward through some stuff. I know is coming now that I didn't the first time, but this movie's rewatchable in that way. And I get it. I get why I have liked Landon's later projects. He clearly had an idea of something he could bring to the table uniquely. And again, it's not rocket scientist. He's not developed a new theorem for understanding the cosmos, but it's unique to him and he pulled it off. And you see the seeds of that here very much, but the seeds also get a chance to grow. And there's some good stuff in this movie.
Yeah, 100%, man.
All right, buddy. Well, that's the Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse, at least as in terms of what I have to say about it.
That's Jeff and Derek's guide to the Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. All right, man. Well, let's wrap it up. Did we see anything scary?
Yeah, no. I mean, I like a movie, I like to say, yeah, I saw something scary. But that's not what this movie is. So, no, I didn't see anything scary.
Yeah, I agree. And even sometimes I'll try to slap the horror reporter, or not horror reporter, the horror uncle. We have too many gimmicks. try to do the horror uncle thing and be like, well, maybe if you're not a big fan of gore, this might be something that scares you with like the zombie attacks and stuff. But even in this movie, man, like I feel like the majority of those zombie attacks are played up for laughs.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really any kind of jump scares that I can remember in this movie. So yeah, I'm gonna have to say the same thing. I don't think there's anything scary in this thing. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put it?
Man, probably like a 5.5. It's weird again, just because the weaknesses of this movie are really weak. And again, mm-hmm. I'm just between you and me and our listeners, I'm just, other than that, I'm not going to recommend it to people, but I enjoyed it and I'll probably watch it again sometime, or I'll watch major sections of it again.
Yeah.
So, if I could have dialed back the raunchiness, even 30%, this is probably going to be like a 7 for me. I mean, I really, mm-hmm. I got to a point where I really enjoyed this thing. So I don't mean to be too critical, but it's 5.5, a little bit better than average.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's right. I think you're in that perfectly acceptable category, even though I guess you could classify this as horror. But I think it's right in that frame of like, oh, okay, this is, it's a fun movie. It's a fun genesis for someone that we have grown to really admire. And, if you're a completist like Jeff, then you definitely want to check this movie out just to see how he progresses. And if you're a fan of watching someone that you admire, progress through their work, then I definitely say give this one a shot. But I would also have low expectations for it. This isn't Freaky. This isn't Happy Death Day. This is a kid trying to learn how to swim.
Yep. Yep. Very much so. Very much so. All right, man.
Well, cool, bud. Well, that's going to do it. Next week's Christmas. So we'll do our best to put out an episode, but
yeah, we've got a Patreon episode to release this month, and we're committed to getting that done. We'll see what the holidays allow us on the other, you know. And listeners, look, if you're interested, we try not to shill our Patreon too hard. But if you're interested, we're going to cover Gremlins, a beloved holiday classic. And so if you want to hear us talk about Gremlins, check out the Patreon this month. You might find it worth your money. I'll tell you this, Derek. I guess I do have one stray thought left about this movie. I have been, over the years we've done this podcast, really critical of horror comedies.
Mm-hmm.
And Landon is very much the kind of horror comedy that I like.
Yep.
And that dovetails with our Patreon episode, because it's been years since I've seen Gremlins.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched it with my kids the other day. And I don't know that if Landon hadn't kind of whet my appetite for some of that stuff, that I would have enjoyed Gremlins as much as I did.
Huh.
So there's sort of a retroactive charm that was applied from watching some Landon movies. And it helped me with another one. So if you want to hear more about that, check out the Patreon campaign and listen to us talking about Gremlins this holiday season.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Yeah. That's a great appetizer. I don't know. Words are hard. But yeah. So that does not bode well for today. patreon.com/scarypodcast to sign up for that. I think you can get those bonus episodes for as little as $3 a month.
Yep.
So trying to give you the most bang for your buck over there at the Patreon. Hey, if you haven't already, make sure and go join the Facebook group. We Saw Something Scary. Always loads of fun over there on that. And also, give us those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. We definitely want people to know more about the show, and you guys have been great doing that so far. But, it is really cool, man. It seems like every week we have someone new listen to the show, or we have someone new join the Facebook group. So just to kind of piggyback to what we were talking about earlier in the episode, very grateful for that, and grateful for you guys for listening. And can you believe we're approaching 4 years in doing this thing?
No, man, I can't. It doesn't seem that long ago. When I texted you a domain name, I'd registered. So 4 years
in. That's nuts. But we greatly appreciate you guys, and we will try to be back with another episode before the end of the year. If not, we will definitely have our end of the year episode up at the beginning of the year, probably when I get back into Tennessee. But definitely be on the lookout for that Patreon episode, and we'll try to pepper something in between. But if we don't get to talk to you, hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, great holiday season. Happy Hanukkah for those of you that celebrate that. Did you see that Smokey Robinson video?
No, but I need to.
Dude, so Smokey Robinson is on Cameo now, and I guess someone, the child of someone that he grew up with, got Smokey Robinson to wish him a happy Hanukkah. And he said, "Hey, this is Smokey Robinson. And, you know, I guess we grew up together in Detroit. And hey, it's very nice to see you. And I hear you're living in Vancouver now. That's amazing. Anyway, your son wanted me to tell you happy Chinooka." Not real sure what that is, but happy Chinooka to you and your family. And dude, I this is the best thing I've seen in a long time.
That's so hilarious. I will check that out.
Yeah. So that's why I laughed when I said the happy Hanukkah thing. So happy Chinooka for those of you that celebrate that. Anyway, man, I hope you just have a wonderful holiday season. I know for some people it's going to be crazy. I know for some people it's going to be Zoom chats and things like that. But let's just take this time to still be grateful that we have that ability to Zoom chat and FaceTime. And you know, hopefully we'll be able to see our loved ones again real, real soon. But till we meet again, he's at Right Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo, and we're out of time, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Go check this movie out. Give Gremlins a watch before you join the Patreon, and we talk about that. And yeah, just have a great holiday season with your friends, your family, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye, man.